previously.tvpodcastnetwork.
Hello, this is Dave with a production note for this episode. We lost some of our audio, so the start and the end and some little bits in between are a little bit rough and truncated. But the guts of the episode are here. Please enjoy.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara. As time goes by, it feels like we're still no closer to the end of the 128 episode season that is the eighth.
No, it is quite a commitment for us. Before we get into it, you can purchase an ad on this podcast. $50 for a personal message, $100 for a commercial message. Go to previously.tv/ads for more information. Now let us begin with our C plot. Steve finds out about the pitfalls of dating Sarah. Cough. Brandon is boringly boring Steve about his wedding registry, and we will get to them when Steve drops the news about dating Sarah. In fact, their first date is a round of golf. Sounds unbearable. Steve is impressed by her short game when we see them in it, and she very pointedly says that her husband taught her, and Steve is like, husband? And she says, yeah, but then kisses him, and he doesn't care, and she then says they're separated. I'll just bet. Aren't they always? Steve asks Kelly and Brandon what they think he should do about Sarah, given her situation. And Brandon's like, keep seeing her, while Kelly says marriages take a long time to get over. How would she know? Over chili fries at the Peach Pit, Steve asks Sarah what happened in her marriage. She says her husband cheated on her. Without naming names, Steve says a buddy of his cheated on his girlfriend, but that she eventually forgave him. Did she? Sarah says she couldn't do that, and in a selfish way, Steve is glad. And then he brings her to meet Brandon and Kelly. She makes it weird by saying that everything she's hearing about their wedding plans is reminding her of her wedding. So, yeah, she's real separated, clearly. Steve walks Sarah home to her door. She says this would normally be where she would invite him in, but she's married. And he's like, separated. She says she hasn't been with another man in a long time. And one of the few visual aids that I did for this storyline that you can see in the post at previously.tv is Steve stroking her cheek, getting ready to kiss her, and this crazy barrette she has in the back of her head with all these little dangling things. Every time she moves the tiniest bit, they're like, boing, boing, boing. Anyway, one of the only things that was noteworthy in this storyline. A chewy kiss ensues, and she pulls him inside by his neck. And then Sarah, the next day, brings Steve a chai, which he says smells interesting, though he makes it known he would have preferred coffee. She stopped drinking coffee when she and her husband split up, and he notes that she always calls him her husband, which weirds him out. And I thought he was going to say that she should call him her ex, but he just wants to know the dude's name, which is Matt. He left her a message last night saying he wants them to go to couples counseling. She's agreed to go, and they're starting this afternoon, and he appreciates her honesty, but also isn't sure how to feel about this weird arrangement. And she wants to know if he thinks they can still see each other, and he says he would like to. And to her question, he says the chai is different, but he thinks he can't get used to it. It's dumb.
It goes on forever, too. Like, really a long time.
Oh, God. Pause.
No, I meant the scenes in this episode. You're like, what? It's going to be okay.
On to the B plot. Gwyneth makes a love quadrangle into a very pointy pentagon. So since Gwyneth has been sleeping in Donna's scribblarium, she's helping herself to a flip through a sketchbook when Donna comes in. But Donna can't be mad about the invasion of her privacy when Gwyneth compliments her work, because of course she does. She thanks Donna for letting her stay there, and Donna admits she did it to keep Gwyneth away from Noah, which Gwyneth knows, duh. She was upset at first, but since they've gotten to know each other, Gwyneth is glad she did. I'm sure. So then, oh God, Noah shows up and starts monologuing about flipping to a fashion channel on TV that made him think of Donna, and announces that Donna's putting on a fashion show. So she has no clothes to show, no place to show them, and no clothes to buy. We don't know what happened to the 100 pieces she had to make for that department store after the Maya Lee debacle, but whatever. Noah doesn't care because she has a great line, whatever that means. And he's cleared a night at the club, except we see them rehearsing the night before as well. So whatever to this entire arrangement. she thinks of a reporter she knows who could cover it and starts listing the things that she'll need to line up to plan it. And when she gets to models, Gwyneth says Donna should model. Clip two.
You're beautiful enough.
There is so much stuff around this entire, both Donna being like, who, me? No. And then her like getting into it and the camera like lingering on her weird, like drunken baby goat runway walk. Oh God, it's so fucking bad.
Yeah.
I'm still angry that we sat through it.
I know. So yeah, she very stagily laughs at both of them stufffully. And if the way she leans over doing it is to remind them about the cleavern, it's convinced me that she shouldn't model clothes. But anyway, see that in the visual aids. I regret to tell you. Val is waiting for David at his house after his latest court date. He's extremely cold to her as he reports that he pled no contest and got a year's probation. She says she thinks that sounds like a lot. I don't.
No.
He fucking shot a dumpster and ricocheted into someone who was like physically harmed. He should also have to pay her medical bills. Anyway, Val tries to ingratiate herself because she has a favor to ask, but he gets distracted by a $2,000 check from a client that has bounced. And the favor she wanted to ask is to move in with him because of Brandon and Kelly getting married. He sighs like an asshole. She gets that he doesn't think it's a good idea. And then he storms down to the client's store to complain about the bounce check, and the PR lady, Mia, promises to fix it with Gil, the finance guy, and David impotently threatens legal action if she doesn't sort it out. He is not convincing. And as I said, preparations for the fashion show have begun immediately. Like, it's still the same day. They're at the club talking to the lighting guy. Like, who is this? How did they find him? And the fashion show is the next day. How and why? Like, none of this is how anything works. But in order to do a lighting rehearsal, Donna will just have to walk the runway. No one is respecting her refusing stuff. And while Donna's getting ready to walk, Gwyneth starts flirting with Noah, saying the club is great, just like him. When he says he thought Donna had stage fright, Gwyneth claims that Donna insisted that she had to model. And then Noah watches Donna feeling herself and admires how beautiful and determined she is. And Gwyneth is like, whoops. And as Sarah said, her ridiculous modeling is so stupid. I mean, I made a couple of gifs because I had to. Like, she goes up and down the runway like 20 times. And there's so much arm in her modeling. Like, what fashion shows has she been watching where models are throwing their arms over their heads? Does not happen.
And then all of her models in the actual fashion show end up doing that dressed, you know, whatever. It's like a Chico's kind of fashion show. Let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
But she's so like the turns that she makes are like, it's all very herky. And it's also like, as usual, when there is stuff involved with Donna, or even when it's supposed to be serious, but she's like trying to stalk out of a room or off a boat.
Yeah.
She has so much vertical motion in her walk.
Yeah. She takes really short strides. And so it just makes it, it makes her look like her legs aren't attached properly to her pelvis.
It definitely is like one of those dolls with the little paddle board that you make it dance.
Yes.
It's very, it's not modelacious at all.
No, it's not. She looks like if you got an 11-year-old girl and we're like, pretend let's play model. Like, she models like that.
Yeah.
That's how she looks on the runway. Anyway,
dear 11-year-olds, we apologize for maligning
sorry,
you.
Yeah, sorry. That was wrong. David walks in on Val at the Peach Pit after dark, calling around about apartment rentals. She's sorry that she overstepped, and he's sorry he wasn't clear. He's not sorry. He said no, she could not move in with him. And then he says they need to talk, and she guesses she's not going to like it. And this occurs. Clip three.
David, I'm drowning. Okay? You're on a lifeboat and you won't even reach out to me.
And I feel like I'm reaching out, Val, and you won't take my hand.
I'm taking it now.
But now it's too late.
So you're just gonna let me drown?
I'm letting you go.
It's the same difference.
When did she not accept his help that he didn't offer, as I recall?
Yeah. And also, like, if your stated reason for letting her go is that she won't get the help she needs, does this seem like a good idea to be like, well, too late?
Yeah.
The window's closed and you're agreeing to go to therapy. Like, you care about her or you don't. Spoiler, mm-hmm. you don't. Eat mm-hmm. shit, David. Ugh. Asshole.
It's really dumb. So the next day, David yells at Mia on the phone until Val comes over to get her stuff and give him back his key. He tells her to keep it in case she needs a place to crash, but she says she'd rather sleep in the gutter. Val! Unfortunately, it gets worse from there, clip four.
I'm trying here, Val.
To be what, David? Huh? The nice guy? You want a gold medal or something? Get it from your next girlfriend.
I'm not the one who messed this up.
Right, you already told me that. I was the one who was raped and reminded of my father's abuse, but I'm the villain here.
It didn't work. Val, can't we just leave it at that?
Sure, David. Whatever you say.
Ugh.
Fuck you! I hate him so much. So much.
Yeah. Well, it gets worse as well. David then shows up at the Peach Pit After Dark for the fashion show, which is today. Poor Gwyneth is put in the position of reassuring David that she is okay after he essentially shot her. And then he tells Donna and Noah that he and Val broke up, so now he's not sure about doing the music for the show. Donna knows it's difficult, but asks him to think about it and goes inside. And then this happens, clip five.
Look, David, what happened between me and Val? Messed up a good thing. I'm sorry.
Oh, I appreciate that. But, it was a lot of other things.
Please describe what happened between me and Val. Exactly.
And David's smug acceptance of that he's like, yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah.
And then he's like leaning all jauntily on Donna's rack of clothes. And she's like very awkwardly, as though her hand is asleep, patting his arm. While Noah is looking like he's passing a cubic poo. It's, oh God, it's all so bad and inexplicable, and David is a douche.
Yeah, and like, when did you two become bros? Because was it when you decided to both fuck over Val? This is what's brought you together? I hate you both.
Yeah, cool. Enjoy your friendship at the bottom of the ocean.
Honestly. So inside, Johnny, the photographer, tells Val when he saw her the other day, he thought she was one of the models. She tells him to save it. And Gwyneth watches Val reject Johnny and then gets her alone to try to get her on board with a schemer-tunity that she somehow instinctively knows Val's going to be into in clip six.
You got a minute?
Yeah, what's up, Gwyneth?
Oh, nothing. Other than I'm in love with Noah and he's in love with Donna.
Oh, you want to do something about it, huh? Okay, we'll think about it. Tomorrow night is one of the biggest nights in Donna's career. Everybody here, we're all going to be here for her. Give her a reason to melt down.
I don't mind watching, but what will that accomplish?
Well, we always hurt the one we love. See that bottle of wine over there? If you're not careful, you could stain your outfit.
So now the fashion show is in 2 days, so the club has been shut down for 2 nights plus the fashion show. Just checking.
Yeah.
So then Gwyneth...
Also,
yes?
I mean, I would say, like, what kind of amateurish plan is this? And then I remembered, we're dealing with Donna. Yeah. This could work.
Yes. So then Gwyneth is coming out from the spare room in a robe, deleting Donna's message about following up with this reporter and pulling the post-it with the reporter's number off the fridge. Noah shows up with some clothes and Gwyneth flirts about her arm, keeping her up. She asks about the clothes. Noah says Donna doesn't think they'll work for her show and that she's kind of a perfectionist. And Gwyneth says Donna told her about the car accident, trying to stay on top of things at work and the pills. Hey, did she also tell you what else happened around that time? Noah's rape charge? Just wondering. Doesn't come up. Gwyneth pretends to worry about Donna possibly relapsing, and then Donna comes home. Gwyneth claims she called the reporter and that she can't come. This is why you don't put on a fashion show on a day's notice. Like, even if she had been able to call her or chosen to, she still might not have been able to come. You're all stupid. Then David's at the Peach Pit stealing from Nat in clip seven.
Number three on your account.
My growing account, thanks, Nat.
Hey, money comes, money goes. The way of the world, my friend.
Okay. Fucking Nat. Don't help.
Well,
I mean, someone has got to keep track of the following three things. People holding the mug not by the handle is one. Mm-hmm. People randomly sticking their, like, ring finger only into their pocket for reasons. That's thing number two. And thing number three, Nat just giving away food.
Yeah. Also, you have a child now, like, that we never, ever hear about. How are you keeping him or her in diapers? I don't even remember what kind of baby it is. Anyway, David then hears his jingle playing in a radio ad for the store that ripped him off, and he furiously gets on the payphone to call radio stations and try to lose the store some customers, as if the radio stations give a fuck. Noah enters his office to find Val sleeping on the couch. They talk about the breakup and how she's a different person than she was when she and Noah were together 500 episodes ago. Noah urges her to talk to David like this, but she can't. She will be at the fashion show, though. And sure enough, the first radio station David calls is not interested in putting him on to air his grievance and hangs up on him. Like, you're a music professional, or were at one point. What made you think this would ever possibly work? Like, why would they care?
Well, and did he consider calling the whoever was, like, on the check and just being like, when are you going to make this right? There's also a fee.
Right. Anyway, Nat diagnoses him as displacing his feelings about breaking up with Val, but David ignores him and leaves. And then it's time for the fashion show. For some reason, there are a bunch of photographers, as if, and as we already mentioned, the models walk like a bunch of assholes. There's so much arms, you can see it in the visual aids.
Donna is wearing some kind of, like, lingerie by Lamb Chop contraption and standing out front, like, next to the runway, like, no, go backstage, keep an eye on your shit, be pinning people, what are you fucking doing?
Yeah, I mean, she's kind of a perfectionist, but she's just watching this, first of all, like any other spectator, and second, like, with a bored expression on her face. Like, she's giving nothing. She's not anxious, she's not excited, she's not happy, like, nothing is happening. Her face is completely blank.
Yeah.
Then Gwyneth shows up. The wedding dress that was supposed to close the show is stained. In fact, the whole rack is stained. The clothes in Noah's office are samples and they haven't been fitted on the models. Donna starts self-recriminating, saying she knew it was too soon. She's right. And the line wasn't ready. Right again. And Noah is pushing her too hard, but everyone's just trying to help her. And after the show, which I assume was 2 minutes long, Donna can't imagine who would ruin her shows. Her clothes, rather. Val needles Donna, and both Noah and David come to Donna's defense and tell Val she shouldn't be so mean. She's not surprised David is sticking up for Donna. And then Johnny, the photographer, tries again, and now Val is interested in fucking him, possibly. They talk until closing time. He thinks she's great, and his place is close enough to walk. And the next morning, Val wakes up in Johnny's bed. He's already dressed and has to leave, but he says she can stay. The door will lock behind her. He looks all bleary, and when he leaves, she opens a drawer and finds his heroin works. And her reaction, while I normally think she's a good performer, she has the biggest telenovela horror reaction that I think I've ever seen her do on the show. She can also see in the visual aids.
Was really expecting, like, a player piano to kick in, followed by, like, an old timey black and white curly Q Chiron that's like, oh no. Curses foiled again. Oh, too soon.
Yeah. Also, he's shooting up before work. Cool. Seems functional. So David goes back to the store because Mia tipped him off that Gil was there. As Sarah said, we still have had no evidence that David has tried calling the finance guy directly. And also, the finance guy of this store is also apparently a salesman on the floor. So David tells Gil about the suit he needs to impress his ex at his friend's upcoming wedding, and money is no object. Then Val comes into the Peach Pit after dark to get yelled at by Gwyneth, who says she never should have listened to Val. And Noah eavesdrops as Gwyneth says she ruined everything. Wasn't that the point? Val asks. But Gwyneth hates herself for what she did, and Val tells her she should have thought of that before, which is true. Noah comes out glaring, and Gwyneth figures out that he heard. In a way, she is glad he knows. When they kissed, it meant something to her. And the magazine said eligible bachelor, and she thought this was her chance. This is why you don't blow off a fact checker, Noah. Noah isn't going to turn his back on their friendship, but agrees with her that it's probably time for her to go home. And of course, David's haul at the store comes out to just under $2,000. Noah says it's no problem. He's going to pay by check, specifically the one from the store, which bounced. Gil threatens to call security, and David says he'll call the police. Not sure it's a police matter. Try a collection agency, you idiot.
Also, you're on probation for discharging a firearm.
Yeah, as of 2 days ago.
Dumpster. Maybe keep a low pro. Flapola.
Honestly.
Fucking hate this fuck.
So he says one way or another, he's going to get paid for the work he did. Gil knows when he's beaten. Hope Val knows how to declare this on his income taxes. Anyway, then Noah shows up at Donna's apartment to report that she was right about the sabotage of her show and that Gwyneth was to blame. She gets justly pissed when Noah defends her and kicks him out. And then Val is talking on a hotline about the unprotected sex she just had with a presumed IV drug user. No, she doesn't know if he shares needles. His HIV status? To be continued, I guess.
And then it's a very weird fade out, and it's not the only one in this episode, but there's a fade out, like, it starts going dark, first of all, quite abruptly, and second of all, while the performer is still speaking. Like, mm-hmm. What? Huh? Is no, Johnny also fading us out to the ad break now?
Yeah, no one cares anymore. Who's making this show, clearly?
We haven't seen Rex in a while, though.
It's That's weird. True. Finally, our A-plot, Brandon and Kelly try to pull focus from a Bosnian refugee.
Who, in all based caps on his accent, notes. Is, I mean, it's...
Yeah, no, Bosnian by way of Marseille.
Yeah. A suburb of Quebec City.
So, it's all hands on deck at night in the clinic when an accented guy comes in to say he helped a woman deliver a baby in his cab. He was a doctor in Sarajevo. And then Steve finds Brandon working on something in clip 8.
Oh, Brandon's honey-do list. Number 1, set a date.
It's important.
Number 4, church or house.
Right.
Number 13, nuts or mints.
Someone might be allergic.
I'm feeling a hive brewing right now.
Really?
Number 20, what's this? Ask Steve to be best man.
Well, you are above chicken or fish. So would you?
What's with the sexy guitar? Don't call it a fucking honey-do list. I know no. It was still only the late 90s, but don't, it was but the late don't. 90s.
Yeah.
Like, don't be a Kathy cartoon, and if you have to be a Kathy cartoon, don't put these two idiots in it. Please. Ugh.
Well, there's more idiocy over at the Peach Pit, where Kelly is on the phone with her mother in clip 9.
Look, Mom. I'm sorry if your cousin Joe is offended that we didn't invite his second wife, but for some reason, I thought his third wife wouldn't approve. All right. Bye. You're not. I thought this wedding was for us.
I thought this wedding was taking place along traditional the earth only spins forward axes, but here's the thing. You got engaged yesterday, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Something like that, like in Showtime, tops a week ago.
Yes.
People already got invitations or didn't.
Right.
To get mad about them when you haven't even set a date yet or yeah. decided on the venue. What?
Mm-hmm.
And then Donna, who has no experience in bridal or really in anything, is designing Kelly's ball gown, and it looks totally extra. And yeah, I mean, as I recall, it was fine, but it's fine. It's like some David's bridal shit. It's fine. Mm-hmm. I hate the storyline.
Yeah, it's very bad. So Kelly and Brandon end up together again at a cab depot looking for Alex, the doctor turned cabbie. The mother named the baby Alex in his honor, which is cute. Kelly brought Brandon to do a boring human interest story on Alex. He was wounded in the war, as was his wife, Katya, who was also a doctor. Alex was flown to the U.S. for medical treatment and claimed refugee status. It's at this point that Brandon and Kelly get really Brandon and Kelly about it in clip 10.
Why are you driving a cab and not practicing medicine?
I'm not certified to practice medicine in this country.
Can't you get certified? Aren't there tests you can take?
Is there a language barrier?
Yes, it's a language barrier. Excuse me, I have to check out.
His English sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, that's odd.
Can they really not appreciate there might be a difference between, I mean, all of this is moot because they fucking end up being right, which is one of the many things that makes the show terrible. But can they not appreciate the difference between like being able to hold up your side of a like banal conversation versus knowing medical jargon enough to pass a test in your non-native language? Do you really not get that?
Yeah. Also that he almost died of his injuries and perhaps is looking for something a little less like physically fine motor control taxing.
Right.
To do in his new country. And furthermore, not that it is for this show to enlighten us on matters Balkan or anything else.
Yeah.
But perhaps in matters journalism, they could do anything. Like, I don't know, have Brandon ask before whipping out his goofy little drugstore notebook if Alex would like to be the subject.
Yeah.
Of a profile, or would mind having a few questions, like answering a few questions, or would mind having Kelly looming there with her ridiculous, like, I don't even know what that hair is right now. It's like fallen pharaoh. Someone left the pharaoh cake out in the rain. I don't know what's happening. They're just so, oh God, it's unbearable. And it, like anything else, it takes forever.
Yes.
Like for them to be proven right, annoyingly, it takes like 2 weeks. It felt like 2 weeks.
Ugh, yeah. Well, here we go. So at the beat, Brandon hangs up a call about wedding flowers and starts trying to basically bully Alex into taking the test to get certified to practice medicine in the U.S. But Alex says he lost his wife. He's not looking for help. And without Katya, none of it matters. But somehow, Brandon got Alex to talk more to him after that. We found out that Katya is no longer living where they formerly did together in Sarajevo, but she also hasn't registered with any refugee organization. Kelly assumes that means that Alex has assumed the worst, but Brandon says they're in purgatory. And a day later, we're back at the beat, listing all the agencies and organizations everyone's contacted looking for Katya. Although Kelly and Janet, Kelly's hair is the most demented it's looked in a long time in this scene, by the way. Yeah. She can see in the visual aids. Yeah. It's a multiple part clip situation.
It is some baby Jane shit. And then she is sitting on a desk next to Janet. It's deeply unfortunate for Jenny Garth.
Yeah. But,
and yet I don't feel sorry for her or Kelly.
No. Lindsay Price, as always, looks great. So they point out that if Katya came to the U.S. illegally, she might not want to be found. Brandon suggests churches and human rights organizations. Kelly says they'll need Alex's help contacting them, but he refuses. They do not respect his wish on this either, demanding to know Katya's maiden name. Does she have a favorite relative or pet? And Alex exasperatedly says they aren't going to find her because she's dead. And Brandon and Kelly work their magic once again in clip 11.
You don't know that.
I do.
How?
Because I'm listed with refugee organizations, churches, immigration groups.
In other words, you're easy to find.
And if she was alive, she would have found me.
This actor is not the best, but that did make me sad.
Yeah. And it especially made me sad that for whatever reason, he feels unable to take Brandon and shove him up Kelly's ass.
Honestly.
And this entire interaction. Because why are they giving him a bunch of fucking attitude? Like, forget sort of overriding his wishes and trying to help. Okay, like that happens. But why is Brandon being such a cock?
Yeah.
You don't know that. Like, well, he was in Sarajevo, I imagine, since much of his life may be rubble now, that he has a pretty good idea of who might be dead.
Yeah. So obnoxious and so hatred. Out of his depth. Oh, God. So Brandon, Kelly, and Janet apparently ignored Alex and investigated on their own, but in the 1 or 2 hours they've been at it, they found nothing. Sarah also heard what they're trying to do for Alex and says how romantic it is to think there's one person you were meant to be with. Steve asks if she believes that. She says she did once, but maybe not anymore. We fucking get it. You've been on one date. Pump your brakes. But she talks about the moment you know it's right. And when she and Steve leave, Kelly remembers their moment. It was when she found out Brandon had kept her engagement ring. not such a great moment for, oh my God, I forgot her name. Susan.
Oh yeah, Susan. Oh no, it wasn't Susan.
Oh, it wasn't. It was that other broad the whole year
Tracy.
Later. Tracy. Tracy.
Oh, well, Tracy's married now.
Yeah, Tracy's fine. Yeah, Tracy's married to Bobby Cobb from Cougar Town.
Take us with you, Tracy.
Take us to Cougar Town, please. Anyway, Brandon recalls Alex telling him about his moment with Katya. He may even have an idea. And then Brandon is waiting for Alex at the depot because he did the impossible and found Katya. And she's in the dispatch office with Kelly waiting for Alex. And Kelly and Brandon are smug as hell about all of it. Katya, it turns out, was at the ballet, which is where she and Alex fell in love. She was also told that Alex was dead, so since there was nothing left for her at home, she came to America. She was cleaning companies at a ballet company in Chicago. Alex tells Katya that Kelly and Brandon are getting married, as if Kelly wasn't definitely boring her about it the whole time they were waiting. But she congratulates them and tells them about their simple wedding with a loaf of bread and a bottle of wine, and this gives Kelly an idea. And Alex asks how they can ever thank them. And Kelly says they just did. I hate everybody.
I can't talk. I'm punching myself in the face with a box of insulin.
I'm so mad they were
show.
Right. The show is terrible.
Two full seasons and an aborted wedding to go.
But for now, we must deal with our episode MVP. Alex delivering a baby in a cab like a champ.
Yeah, Alex, for sure.
For no other reason that he yelled at Brandon very often. Not that it made a dent, but still, I appreciate it.
And also the whole, like, baby in a cab thing, which is, you know, baby in an elevator backup thing, took place off screen, and we
it didn't
have to see Kelly being at the clinic going through files that are none of her GDB.
So true. Least valuable player. David. Yeah, David is the worst. David is very, very bad. He's really on a bad path.
Yeah, he is. He and his pants taking up the whole path.
God, seriously. We have a user submitted challenge.
Bad, bad, and dangerous to me.
At Cilantro Rose has really given us a puzzler this week.
Girl.
I admire it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it, Sarah.
We're going to do it.
Cilantro Rose wants us to list the five best things about Brandon. Well, number one, he's not real. Number two, he's not on TV anymore.
Number three, he is wee enough and has a flat enough head that if you have no place to put your beer, you can use him to rest your beer or iced tea.
Number four, he's taking Kelly out of the dating pool so no one else will have to deal with her bullshit.
Number five, he makes literally every other journalismer look great.
We did it. It was hard, though.
Oh, you know what does get old? Next time on Again With This, Kelly and Brandon get cold feet. David gets in Valerie's face about the latest indignity Garth and Spelling pressured the writers into inflicting upon her. I mean, getting an HIV test. And Sarah gets back together with her husband, maybe, except who cares? This Sarah is the only one who cares about how Brandon holds a mug, but you'd best believe you'll be finding proof of that in our visual aids for this and every other episode of Again With This, which you can find on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previously.tv, and you can follow this podcast at AWT90210. I am Honey Don't List, Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Jackie's cousin's fourth wife, Tara Ariano, and she is on Twitter at Tara Ariano. Our producer, as always, is number three on our account, and he's David T. Cole. Talk to you next time.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.